with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have a conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Today's show, folks, is about one thing, and it's about perspicacity. It's about having a penetrating discernment. It is a clarity of vision or intellect which provides a deep understanding and insight. Now, you may not talk about perspicacity a lot. Maybe never even heard of it before. But if you're from the South and you had a grandmother who could walk up to someone and read the kind of person that they were, when you would try to tell her something and try to get over and she can tell you whether or not you were telling the truth or lying, well, your grandmother had perspicacity, that deep insight, that penetrating discernment. I was reading some poetry earlier today, and I came across a study by Dr. Robert Sternberg. And he talked about the six elements of wisdom. And five of them included reasoning, learning, sagacity, judgment, and an expeditious use of information. And the sixth element of wisdom was perspicacity. And it made me think about who we are as Black people in this country, who we want to be and who we used to be. We need to have a penetrating discernment about ourselves and about the world around us. There is a lot happening in the country at this moment. It's probably a lot happening in your own community. And today on the show, we're going to try to unpack both some of these national events and connect them to local events, and then dig down even deeper into what's happening within our own communities. The word for today is perspicacity, folks. We want to have a penetrating discernment about what is happening around us. Today is a day that Nipsey Hussle, the artist, the visionary, the leader, I've heard him described in amazing ways. His funeral is happening at this moment. And when I chimed in earlier, there were maybe 35,000 people watching around the world. I chimed in and saw Louis Farrakhan speak, and I know Stevie Wonder is on tap to speak. They showed a quote by Nipsey Hussle where he once said, "More people will be at my funeral than my birthday." Because they'll rather see me on my back than on my feet. I want to talk about the impact of Nipsey Hussle, but I want to try to make some connections, because for folks of a certain generation, if you're part of Generation X or the baby boomer generation, maybe you've never even heard of Nipsey Hussle. But if you talk to a millennial, if you talk to a zillennial, and just so you know, zillennials are the ones who are 18 years of age and younger. If you talk to them, for them, Nipsey Hussle was their Dr. King. Like, they knew his music. They knew his work. They followed him with a kind of commitment to social media that if my parents had Twitter and Dr. King was on Twitter then, they would have been following him with the same type of level of commitment. I am someone who was really not familiar with the work of Nipsey Hussle. When he died, and my sons, as I was driving them to school, were actually mourning his death, I had to stop and take a moment and first of all learn from them. I said, well, who was Nipsey Hussle? Tell me who he was to you. I don't want to, before I read the newspapers, before I do the research, in your own words, as an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, who was Nipsey Hussle to you? And they called him visionary. They called him brother. They called him someone who had an idea of who we needed to be. They called him somebody who had a deep commitment to his people. Oh, they spoke about him in the ways that I would speak about Dr. King. They talked about him the way I would talk about Coretta Scott King, the way I would talk about Ida B. Wells. Those were the type of descriptives that they used for Nipsey Hussle, someone who I didn't even know about. And I was delighted to have them just school me and talk about Nipsey Hussle from their perspective, while they were in mourning for someone who they thought was doing a thing that everyone should aspire to do. Here's a man who had sold mixtapes out of his trunk. I believe at $100 a pop, he sold 1,000 copies of them. He went away and became a success and went back to the same community that he grew up in, the same community where he joined a neighborhood gang, the same community where he had done a number of things to try to keep food on the table. And he began to buy property, open up shops, and employ the people in that community. I heard someone say that Nipsey Hussle took young boys and girls and made them into men and women by giving them a vision and giving them a dream. So I want to talk a little bit about that today, using perspicacity. What does it mean to have a penetrating discernment? It brings me to what's happening on campus here at Morgan State University tonight. Reverend Al Sharpton is here tonight. And I want to think about ways in which we can connect kind of the more mature civil rights leaders, because that's what I would call Reverend Al Sharpton. He definitely is from my father's generation, to what we call kind of the new leaders, a Nipsey Hussle, who was not part of my father's generation. This is what my sons see in terms of leadership. I invited Professor E.R. Shipp, Pulitzer Prize winning columnist and professor here at Morgan State University, who's also doing the Q&A tonight with Reverend Al Sharpton, to join me for just a few minutes to see if she can kind of help me make a connection between the modern civil rights movement and the current Black Lives Matter movement. Professor Shipp, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. As always, it was a pleasure. The last time you were here, we were talking about Dr. King. And I asked you then, what should young people really think about Dr. King today? Well, we're kind of back to that conversation just a bit, because we have Reverend Sharpton coming on campus tonight. And when I asked my sons, Professor Shipp, about Reverend Al Sharpton, I said, well, you know, what do you know about him? Like, it took a little bit of prodding and probing to get them to remember some of the things that I had mentioned. But he was not someone that they're like, oh, I follow him online, or I listen to his radio show, or Al Sharpton said this in the way that, say, when I was coming up, we would say about Al Sharpton. So with that in mind, can you help us kind of make at least some connections between these two? How do we help our young people to take some lessons from the civil rights movement and maybe apply them today?
Well, I want to start then with Coretta Scott King, who said, freedom is never really won. You earn it and win it in every generation. That implies that each generation will define the issues and also define its notion of leadership. So I think what we're seeing with Nipsey Hussle, someone whose name I had never heard before his death, we're seeing that with all the means of communications that we have, we've drifted away to a place where the generations aren't communicating with each other yet about leaders. Al Sharpton, for a certain generation, my generation, I would say, is someone who has been on the radar screen of national scrutiny since at least 1986. Mm-hmm. That was when there were, well, in the 1980s and 90s in New York City, where he's from, there were a number of seminal events that shook not only New York City, but the nation, and forced us to come to grips with some serious racial issues. In 1986, in Howard Beach, New York, that's a neighborhood where the Mafia King John Gotti lived, a bunch of white boys chased some black men because they didn't belong in the neighborhood. This is 1986, neighborhoods off limits because of race. And one of the men, in trying to escape the mob, ran into a highway and was struck by a car and killed. Reverend Sharpton became a major advocate for the families of Michael Griffith, the young man who was killed, and for the other men who were victims in that attack. So his national renown started with that, and I suppose he gained for another generation a level of recognition with the Trayvon Martin case, which was just 7 years ago, 2012. And there, of course, a 17-year-old young black male was shot to death by a neighborhood watchman and wannabe cop named George Zinnemann. That was kind of a social media era case that brought attention to a phenomenon, stand your ground, that many people had never heard of. Right. But it became part of our conversation that if you claim you thought your life was at risk, you had a right to shoot, essentially. And that's how Zinnemann sort of got away with that crime. But Reverend Sharpton has been with us from at least those two kind of bookends to tell the story of race in America and to kind of raise questions about leadership in America. He is not someone who has a PhD the way Dr. King and that generation of leaders did. He's not one who's ever made the Black Enterprise 100 lists of corporate executives. But he is a person of the street who has been embraced by a number of people because of the issues he's tackled.
It's interesting because when I call my father, you know, in the light of Nipsey Hussle, I had to get the other perspective. And I asked my dad about Sharpton, and I asked him to describe Al Sharpton. And he said, growing up in Jim Crow, South Carolina, I used to call Al Sharpton a scrapper. The idea that, you know, Dr. King was always referred to as Dr. King or Reverend King. There was never, folks never called him Martin. They never called him MLK. There was always a level of reverence for him, even though, think about how young he was. It wasn't as if he was that much older than some of the teens and college students at that time, but there was a reverence. He said, for him, Al Sharpton was always just Al.
Yeah.
Sometimes Reverend
and
Al.
And now Reverend Al.
Now
more.
Reverend Al. But my dad's a pastor, too. He's like, you know, I've spoken with Al, and he's a scrapper. He's someone that doesn't come out of the traditional college. He doesn't come out of that kind of background. But he's someone who has remained at least a voice. So the question I have to ask you, maybe this is a difficult or challenging question before I open up the phone lines, I know you have to go. Do civil rights movements leaders like Reverend Al Sharpton, do they still matter to our young people? I mean, what do they represent for us?
In general, I think most people don't think about civil rights leaders until something happens and they realize that they need an advocate. And sometimes it comes just to that. So it may be that they turn to a church that's in the neighborhood that they've never been to themselves, but they know that the leader of that congregation has a voice, maybe has some connections to help them out of the jam they find themselves in, could maybe help raise the funds to bury somebody. That's when they turn to people who, in general, we would think of as leaders. But I don't think people go around with them. The equivalent of a Rolodex, I guess a contacts list, saying these are the leaders today.
Right. I mean, that's interesting because Black Lives Matter, the ways in which it's been described, when you think about people who are taking a deep look at Black Lives Matter, think of Brittany Cooper's work. And she said that Black Lives Matter, it's not leaderless, it's actually leaderful, with the idea that people, young people, feel that they have just as much right as a Dr. King did, or Reverend Al Sharpton, or Reverend Wyatt T. Walker, or an Andrew Young. Folks, I just named all men, so let me be very clear. Ella Baker and Dorothy Ihe, you know, let me, and Joanne Robinson, let me name women as well, that they have just as much right to claim leadership as those who've previously been kind of thrust into that position.
And they can claim leadership in their particular locale, so they're not looking so much beyond for some hero to come in and save them. Another reason for this model is that there's no one person to be targeted and taken out and compromised. So if there are many leaders, then the movement can continuously adapt and new voices can rise for a particular issue. The downside of that is, like, who you gonna call when there's something happening? It's very difficult to figure out who to contact. Who to reach out to, even to build coalitions. So there's a downside to that model also, but I appreciate the fact that they don't want to adapt what the old generation did.
Now, I know you have to go, Professor Shipp, to get ready for tonight, but the event starts at 6:30 p.m.
6:30 in Murphy Auditorium, 2201 Argonne Drive, here at Morgan State University.
Come out and hear Reverend Al Sharpton, which is how I always hear his name pronounced when I think about Spike Lee and Do the Right Thing, Al Sharpton. Come out and hear him speak. And then he's going to do some Q&A sit down with Professor E.R. Shipp, and then they're going to open it up to the audience. Folks, we've got to find a way to make that particular movement relevant to our young people, because I think that the lessons are still relevant. I think that the teachings are still relevant. And I think if we help young people just take another glance, they'll see some of the successes of the movement as well.
And remember his talk tonight. I don't remember the exact title, but he's actually talking about a civil rights agenda in the Trump era.
Yeah.
So that's issues that touch upon the lives of everybody who's alive today, whether it's the continued existence of HBCUs, the availability of college loans, whether or not you can get a job. All of these things are part of that modern civil rights agenda.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor E.R. Shipp. Tonight she will be with Al Sharpton. She is going to take some Q&A with him. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, so folks, we're going to go into a conversation with you now. I want to open up the phone lines. Let's talk about Nipsey Hussle. Let's talk about the ways in which we connect the civil rights movement to the young people of today. Give me a call at 410-319-8888. The funeral for Nipsey Hussle is happening right now. Your thoughts, your feelings, your reflections, I'd like to hear from them. Stephen from Windsor Mill, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Again, I just want to say, one, I never really listened to the man's music. I wish we could, I could say his name, his given name that his mother gave him. I don't know what his name is. I mean, how to pronounce it properly, so I will refer to him as Nipsey Hussle. But
oh, you mean his actual given Eritrean name?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's also a reason why we're choosing to go with Nipsey Hussle. We know we looked at it, and the way it was pronounced by Reverend Farrakhan was Aramaeus Joseph Aseg Shadon. But because we're not sure if Farrakhan gave the right pronunciation, we're going to go with how he was known as Nipsey Hussle.
I can understand that. I just want to say, one, I didn't really listen to his music. I do recall when he was, you know, initially coming out as a rapper, gaining some notoriety, you know, being, he had braids, he looked like Snoop Dogg, had a little tone of voice that was kind of Snoop Dogg-like, and also was a Crip, you know what I mean? So he, those aspects played a big role in him gaining a lot of acceptance within the hip-hop community. And he also was conscious, he was conscious to a certain level even then, but as Instagram has gained more of a foothold with black kids and, you know, black people in general, it's because his videos of his interviews and whatnot started to become a little bit more ubiquitous throughout some of the blogs that black people frequent. So that's how, older millennial, I'll put it that way, an older millennial, I came into his into knowing who he was, but I definitely wish that, you know, he could be here, and I think his death is a reflection of some of the gun culture that we got to get rid
right.
of.
Oh, yes.
And,
oh, yes.
And the fact that there are ways for, you know, gang members to resolve conflicts and without resorting to violence between each other, and so, or resorting to killing each other, you know, especially if you're in the same sort of set. You know, so it's not necessarily something that I want to see happen. But if a man felt offended and felt the need to go to get a gun, then I mean, it just reflects so poorly on how we've been able to, like we talked about yesterday, in terms of infusing de-escalation tactics into our
right.
into
I
our
agree.
Community.
I agree. Thank you so much, Stephen. I appreciate
yep.
that, folks. We do need to think about de-escalation tactics for dealing with the type of violence that we're seeing around this world. We know that when we looked at the footage from the tribute to Nipsey Hussle, that two people were shot at the tribute for Nipsey Hussle. When we think about the violence in Baltimore City and the fact that Nipsey Hussle in his music spoke out against us. We have a little bit of his music, Victory Lap. Let's just hear a little piece of it.
I'm prolific. So gifted, I'm the type that's gon' go get it, no kidding, breaking down a switch in front of your building, sitting on the steps feeling no feelings, last night it was a cold killer, you gotta keep the devil in his hole, but you know how it go, I'm front line every time it's on, 100 proof flow, running shoot pro, 458 drop, playing bulletproof song. Every few shows, I just buy some new gold. Circle got smaller, everybody can't go. Downtown Diamond District,
jewelers like yo. Hustle, holla at me, I got Cubans on the low.
Nipsey Hussle Victory Lap. We're talking about Nipsey Hussle today. His funeral is happening right now, and there are thousands of people, not just in this country, but around this world, that are mourning at this moment, at the loss of this visionary, this leader, this compassionate individual, which is some of the ways in which my sons described him. They saw Nipsey Hussle as the best of what a person who was born into difficult circumstances could become, where you actually take what you have. You take your talent, not only do you make it, but you then turn around and you give back into your community. In so many ways, Nipsey Hussle really epitomized the teachings of 19th century black women. I'm thinking of the Alice Dunbar Nelsons that we talk about. The idea that they would often say you needed to lift as you climb, which means that you are not only climbing up, you're reaching a hand back and lifting someone else up as well. It's not an individual journey. We have City on the phone, a new caller from Washington, D.C. City, how are you? And welcome to the family.
Thank you so much. I'm good.
Welcome. So what do you think about, you wanted to make a connection between Nipsey Hussle and Al Sharpton?
I did, because I wanted to talk about, I'm somebody who is from this generation, And I wanted to talk about, I guess, what you were talking about with Mr. Shipp, kind of like what sometimes seems to be the disconnect.
Yes.
And I also kind of wanted to bring up something that might be uncomfortable for people pertaining to Nipsey Hussle.
Okay, go ahead.
Although a lot of people may uplift him, and I don't want to be a person who participates in taking away from anything that he has accomplished,
okay,
or any of the impact that he has made on people.
Okay. Well, you know, with that now, City, I'm gonna have you hold on, because you got to get some good stuff here. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. City, do not hang up. Folks, City's about to drop some stuff he said you might not want to hear. We're going to come back to City after the break. I also want to open up the phone lines for anyone else who'd like to join. 410-319-8888. For the next half hour, when we come back, let's talk about the impact of Nipsey Hussle, whether you knew him when he was alive or not. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us. Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we're having a different type of conversation today, because we have made the decision on Today with Dr. K that the word for today is perspicacity. And that means to have a penetrating discernment, a clarity of vision or intellect which provides a deep understanding and insight. I think we should, as people, have some perspicacity. We need to have a clear understanding of what is happening to us right now in this country, what is happening to us right now in this city, what is happening to us right now in our own communities. Do we have a penetrating discernment about who we are as people in this world? Do we have a penetrating discernment about the power we have as voters in this city? We're talking about perspicacity. That is the word for today. I was taking a look at the legacy of Nipsey Hussle. His funeral is happening now, and it is a star-studded event. I know that Stevie Wonder is slated to appear. When I was watching it earlier, Al Sharpton was speaking and talking about the impact of Nipsey Hussle. They were also reading after, right before Al Sharpton, they read a letter that was sent by Barack Obama, who said that he set an example for young people to follow, and he had a legacy worthy to follow. 410-319-8888. Let's talk about Nipsey Hussle, and let's talk about the ways in which young people see folks like Nipsey Hussle as their leaders. For our Zillennials, for our millennials, Nipsey Hussle was their Dr. King. If you look at this funeral, folks, this star-studded event, it's like a concert up in there, first of all, but it is packed. I mean, Nipsey Hussle was able to get gang members to sign some type of peace treaty so they can be on all one accord. So he is like this generation's Dr. King. Do you remember, if you are a more mature listener, when Dr. King was assassinated and things shut down? That's how folks are reacting now with Nipsey Hussle. 410-319-8888. I was talking to City from Washington, D.C. City, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for opening up this discussion for us to have this conversation.
Absolutely. So you said you had some comments that you don't think people are going to like.
I'm not sure if people are necessarily not going to like. I do think that it's not fairly a part of the narrative. It's not balanced, and it has to do, and it's beautiful that you used that word today, because it elaborates what is lacking thereof. I can't help say the word.
my word for today.
Your word for today.
Perspicacity. Perspicacity.
But that's perfect, because Nipsey Hussle, unfortunately, as a lot of us do, you know, falls short when it comes to intersectionality. His biggest flaws, of course, were homophobia and his misogyny, even to the point, like I said, it's not a balanced narrative, because it doesn't, because the detriment behind not having a balanced narrative, it does leeway for the things that, again, that he didn't have the opportunity to turn around, because my hope would have been, if he were here, he would be able to grow from some of his comments. But because he didn't have that opportunity, and because we don't have that clarity, a lot of people could take those and run with them, especially in the same way that we uplift him, right?
You're talking about some of the comments that he made about, if I'm not mistaken, the LGBTQIA community?
Is that
what you're talking about specifically?
Specifically, okay. when he posted on social media his example of what a positive black male was.
Right.
And he automatically took out an entire section of what, you know, are positive black males, and said that they're not that because they are, in fact, homosexual.
Right.
And I think that is very extreme. And to that extreme, I think that, again, there needs to be more of a balance and nuanced discussions, because, again, we don't want people to give people the opportunity to think that is acceptable and that's okay, because
thinking
isn't acceptable and it's not okay.
I think that
this is even a perfect opportunity to, you get what I'm saying? I know it's tough because we are mourning our brother, and me personally, I don't want to take anything from him, because he sounds like an outstanding person, and even to the point I wish that he would have possibly had the opportunity to, you know what I mean, change. A lot of people, they do grow and they evolve and they change.
Right. But see, that's what happens when a person is killed when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have a chance to grow. I'm just thinking, for example, about Dr. King. I think about Malcolm X. I mean, when I look at King and X, I compare them very differently to, say, Nelson Mandela, because we saw Nelson Mandela age and change and grow and soften in his stance over time. That's what happens when the leader has an opportunity to grow. I think it happens to all of us, right?
Right. And then really quick, just closing up, how it reflects to Al Sharpton and kind of like this disconnect, what has to do, I guess, with your word of the day. Again, Al Sharpton, he's not somebody who a lot of young people can see themselves in. Like, for example, just in the exterior of his appearance. A lot of us, when we talk about Al Sharpton, we question, like, how and why the relaxer, especially in the time of movement. My generation is, like, the epitome of the natural hair movement, from men to women. So even when you look at that and how important and how impactful, you know what I mean, saying that I'm going to grow my hair, my natural roots out, and to have somebody who wants to call themselves a leader, not to be that disconnected from that, even just using that as one example, you know, that speaks to a lot. And I think that the Boondocks, Aaron Magruder, what he kind of, you know, was saying about Al Sharpton speaks a lot to our young generation as well.
Now, I will say this, Sydney, because I definitely appreciate your comments. But two things I want to say. One, I think that you do a great disservice to the sisters and brothers from the 60s who wore their hair natural at a time when it was not acceptable. Your generation, I would argue, is not the epitome of natural hair. Your generation
I didn't want you to pick that up.
Let's be very clear.
That's not true.
Well, okay, I want to make sure that's clear. And second,
I think it's interesting.
If not for
that movement, we wouldn't have the strength to do that. But what I wanted to say was that, for example, that like hair relaxers are probably going to be a thing of the past. I'm saying that pretty much as an example of that. We've had the opportunity to, because of, you know, the great work and the great things that the Black Panther movement and our ancestors
and Angela Davis have done and so on and so forth. Yes.
Yes, it has paved the way for us today.
All right, thank you so much. And Cindy, don't hang up because I want you to hear this. I know I have to go with you. But now people have asked Al Sharpton about his choice around using a relaxer in his hair. And Al Sharpton has said more than once that he considered himself to be an adopted son of James Brown. And when he met with James Brown and traveled with James Brown, it was James Brown who made Reverend Al Sharpton make a promise that he would never do his hair any other way but with that relaxer. Now, whether or not that story still stands as a story of truth that Reverend Al Sharpton stands on, but more than once I have spoken to him in terms of interviews with him when I lived in New York, and he's spoken about his decision around that hair was based upon his relationship with James Brown. And that's very interesting. Thank you so much, Cindy. That's very interesting, folks. Do you feel that when you look at a leader, and I'm thinking about Reverend Al Sharpton, if you look at a leader and you have a problem with the way the leader wears their hair, and because of that, you don't see them as a leader, are you not doing the same thing that white America does to us when they try to police our hair? I mean, there's a reason why in New York it's now against the law to fire a person based upon what kind of hairstyle they have. It's the reason why California is now making it part of the law that people can wear natural. There's a reason why Black folks actually have to have laws in place to protect us with wearing our hair natural. It's folks who are not of color, PNOCs, policing our hair. So when you say, well, I have a problem with Sharpton because, you know, he has this relaxer, are you not doing the same thing? Come on now, folks. We have Roscoe on the phone from Baltimore. Roscoe, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I just wanted to call just because I wanted to touch on a little bit with Nipsey Hussle, because it seems like a lot of people are calling in that don't really know much about him. So just want to touch a little bit on him. I've been listening to him for maybe about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine put me on to him, and the person that put me on to him actually only listens to, I guess you could say, just real, I hate to say this term, but real people. Okay. So the first person he put me on to was Tupac, and then this next guy came up. He was like, have you ever heard of Nipsey Hussle? Never heard of him before. So I listened to him, and the first thing that came to mind, this guy's really a G. He really knows what he's talking about. I stopped listening to rap music recently, so I haven't listened to him really much. Every now and then I would go online, load up one of his mixtapes, listen to it a little bit. But every now and then I would listen to him. In fact, I was listening to him the Friday before he got killed. So my wife, she actually came to me and was like, Nipsey Hussle just got shot. And I was like, for real? And she said, he's actually dead. And I'm like, damn, that's messed up, because didn't he just have a kid? So I'm talking about this in terms of he actually had a family. We're not going to talk about his homophobia and bring him down or anything. He had a family. He actually, it's not like he had a baby mama. He was with
Lauren London.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you know, I'm sure you know about the issue that's going on.
Well, let me say this. I want to stop you just for 1 second, because I'm going to let you continue. Mm-hmm. I never like when people say, well, he didn't have a baby mama. He actually had. No, because it kind of brings down women who are in a lot of ways are unmarried and who have children and are respectable enough to still be in a relationship. There's nothing wrong with being some baby's mama. We have just taken that term. The media has made that a negative term, because I consider myself to be a baby mama. I have 2 sons. Doesn't matter mm-hmm. whether I'm married. I'm some baby's mama. So I don't want to say he didn't just have a baby's mama. Yes, she was the mother and stood as the mother of his son and the mother of her first son. And she mm-hmm. also acted almost like a stepmother to Nipsey's daughter. So yes, she was some baby's mama. Just not in the negative way that the media calls that as a baby mama.
Definitely not. I wasn't saying it in any type of negative way whatsoever. But what I was saying was they were actually together and they were raising a family.
Yes.
They were raising a Black family.
Yes, they were.
So, and then on top of that, you know, I'm sure you've heard about what's going on with him, and I think it's Dr. Sibby, and and pretty much how whoever deals with anything talking positive about Dr. Sibby, something usually happens to them. Right. So I'll leave that to you to touch on that.
So. Now, I just want to say, Roscoe, what'd you just say? Whenever somebody talks about Dr. Sibby, what ends up happening to them, you said?
They usually end up dying one way
and
or another.
And you notice that I did not even go down that road, because what you just said, a lot of people say, hey, if you get into that Dr. Sibby, you need to be clear, because everyone that kind of goes into that conversation, something else happens with that.
Now, let me say one more thing, because there's a lot of things that are going on with this case that people aren't talking about. And another situation is the guy Chris Darden, that was the prosecutor for O.J. Simpson's trial, all of a sudden pops on the scene, and he's defending the person that shot Nipsey Hussle.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just it, all of it doesn't sit well. It doesn't seem right. But I just wanted to call in just
I'm
to speak on him, because he actually was a person that was he might have did a little bit of negative talk for the wrong things at one point, but then he changed his life around, and then boom, he was gone.
And I'm just wondering, too, just to add with that, Roscoe, I think that when people start focusing on everything he said, I think if anyone's under the microphone and a microscope, there are a lot of things that we say and we grow. Who knows who Nipsey Hussle could have become? Who knows?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Thank you so much, sir. We want to play a clip where they're reading the tribute from Barack Obama to Nipsey Hussle. Let's take a listen to that. All right, seems like we're having some problems. So, Dre, instead, can you pull up some of the Nipsey Hussle music, please?
Regarding the life and celebration of Nipsey Hussle. Written today, this morning, at April 11th, 2019, the friends and family of Nipsey Hussle. I've never met Nipsey, but I've heard his music through my daughters. And after his passing, I had the chance to learn more about his transformation and his community work. While most folks look at the Crenshaw neighborhood where he grew up and only see gangs, bullets, and despair, Nipsey saw potential. He saw hope. He saw a community that even through its flaws taught him to always keep going. His choice to invest in that community rather than to ignore it, to build a skills training center, a co-working space in Crenshaw, to lift up the Eritrean American community. He set an example for young people to follow and is a legacy worth of celebration. I hope his memory inspires more good work in Crenshaw and communities like it. Michelle and I send our sympathies to Lauren, Imani Cross, and his whole family, and to all those who love Nipsey.
So, folks, that was from the funeral of Nipsey Hussle, and they're reading a statement that had been sent by Barack Obama talking about the impact, the legacy of Nipsey Hussle. Something that is in that letter that really speaks to me. He said, I didn't know Nipsey Hussle. I heard about him through my daughters. Folks, that's how I heard about Nipsey Hussle. I heard about him through my sons. My sons were mourning his death, and I had no idea who he was. And then listening to my sons only encouraged me to do a couple things. And I think that as parents, I think this makes sense, right? So if your children are deeply interested in someone and they are impacted by their life, by their words, by their death, by the ways in which they move, we should take an interest. I think as parents, we need to know what's going on. But second, it made me realize that there's a little bit of work that I need to do to be aware of who's doing some of the moving and shaking. It's the word of the day, perspicacity, a penetrating discernment. Do you have that? Do you know who the people are who are impacting the next generation? Nipsey Hussle was one of them. Perspicacity, folks. That is our word for today. I have Darren on the phone from Edgewood. Darren, how are you?
I'm so good. And thank you for letting me break bread with you again, Dr. K.
Absolutely.
And that word that you just pronounced or just defined is what inspired me to call. And once again, you know where I'm just, and I feel like the young people have given me a gift by getting, now that I get to know a little bit about Nipsey Hussle and another brother that was out there, you know, being industrious for our people. And I'm going to give you what was so freely given to me that is important to me. And Dr. K, that word is important. That word, you know, being having that discernment. And I have an idea. I think that maybe, Dr. K, that it would be a service to our people. We would have a movement to try to have black, the designations of black and white taken away from the census. Mm. I think they're a disservice to everybody in America. I mean, I don't understand why people in America aren't Americans. Okay. And what also I don't understand is why our people are so unwilling to give up that designation. It's just like if people that they said were Chinese, were they called them yellow people, and I think that's offensive. And then if those people were to accept that designation and not even consider China, I mean, or if they said, you know, the red man, the redskins, right, and they said that was cool. I don't think that's cool. And I think it's a disservice for white people to accept that designation for themselves, because it does give them privilege to a certain extent.
Let me ask you this, Darren.
But at the same time, it's not sustainable, so it's a detriment to them. And yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm a little bit confused.
Okay.
And maybe if you can help me make the connection. I'm trying to understand how the conversation about Nipsey Hussle and his impact and his music and his legacy is about us not calling ourselves black people or white people. Like, I'm just
or
not
yellow
sure how
people
you made
or
it.
Red people. Well, you know, that
and,
word.
Now, I will not, those two terms, the last two you use, which I don't use, are deeply offensive. And so we actually don't use that. In our designations here in this country, black people and white people have actually been accepted as designations. The other two are deeply offensive. We started calling ourselves black people with the Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud movement, with the work that Kwame Ture did on the march with SNCC. So I'm just trying to figure out how we move from Nipsey Hussle, who was an Eritrean American, to that black people shouldn't call themselves black people.
Dr. K, that word that you told is what motivated me
to. Oh, okay. So perspicacity.
Yeah.
Okay.
About being discerning.
Yes, penetrating
and
discerning.
And I take nothing away from the brother. I think the brother is a blessing. Thank you, Dr. K.
Okay, thank you so much, Darren. I appreciate you. Let's play a little bit of Nipsey Hussle's music. The word for the day, folks, is perspicacity. It's about a penetrating discernment. We're going to hear his music, and then we're going to go back to the phones.
My enemy, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is a real in the celebration. It's a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the open matrix. Red rose in the great pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. No, he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platforms to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. But deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real work and reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication.
Nipsey Hussle, that song is Dedication. Folks, you may be wondering, why are we talking about Nipsey Hussle today? Well, his funeral is going on. And it so moved us with the number of people who are visibly mourning his death, talking about his legacy, talking about his impact, that we thought it was important to take a step for a moment, to use perspicacity, which is a penetrating discernment, and use that as a lens to talk about the people that are impacting your children and mine. Like, it is not enough for us to just bathe them in the words and wisdom of Mary McLeod Bethune. That doesn't connect to them. You need to go study the music of Nipsey Hussle, because I guarantee you, if your child is in his teens or her teens or their teens, I'm telling you, they've heard of Nipsey Hussle and they're listening to his music. You need to know. You need to have some penetrating discernment about the people who are impacting the lives of your children and mine. Perspicacity, folks. We have Lisa on the phone from Laurel. Lisa, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. K. I just wanted to add something that really stood out with me. First of all, I remember my daughter sitting on the couch, and she had mentioned, she said, oh, wow, a famous rapper just got killed. And I said, well, who is it? She said, Nipsey Hussle. And I know the name sounds, I remember it vaguely. She said, he was on the level of Kendrick Lamar. And I'm like, Kendrick Lamar, he was on that level?
Yeah.
And I didn't hear about him?
Yeah.
But she said, yeah. And there's something about him passing that just drew me into his story. Like, I need to, you know, find out who he was. And I've been drawn to everything that has been on the media ever since. But what stood out really a lot to me with what his mother said in a brief statement she made on YouTube. And she was very much at peace. She said, listen, I'm at peace. She said, but don't stay stuck where you are. Don't, you know, it's okay to mourn, but don't stay stuck. You know, learn from him and move forward.
Oh, I like
you
that.
Know, and that stood out. So I really appreciate you having this, you know, this discussion on your show today.
Thank you so much. And Kendrick Lamar, just so you know, Kendrick Lamar is actually featured on that song Dedication, the one we just heard.
Yeah.
So, okay, thank you so much. Wow, folks, think about that. Think about what his mother said in terms of mourning. I know that Nipsey Hussle may not be stopping your day. I mean, my sons asked me if they could take the day home, in fact, take the day off. In fact, my oldest son did take the day off. Now that I'm thinking about it, he said he wasn't feeling very well, but I know that he's home now and he's been watching what's been going on because he is mourning. He feels like they lost a major leader, somebody who was bringing gangs together, who was lifting up the residents. Folks, I ask you, when I talk about perspicacity, one of the things that Nipsey Hussle did, and I went and I found this out about him, is that he spent his money in his community. He was trying to build up his community, employ the members of his community. They said he took young girls and boys and made them into men and women by giving them opportunities, giving them training. He was doing STEM connections to get young people into science, technology, engineering, and math. Where are you spending your dollars? Do you have that same type of deep commitment to our community here in Baltimore City that Nipsey Hussle had to his? I mean, perspicacity, folks, penetrating discernment. Today is a day for some hard questions for you. You don't have to be Nipsey Hussle. You don't have to know Nipsey Hussle. But I believe that he provided a blueprint. What does it mean to make money and have a commitment to spending the money in your own community? What does it mean to make it and go back and buy property in your own community and then put a store there and employ the members of that community to work in the store? Perspicacity, folks. Today is the day for those type of questions. We have Taryn on the phone from Baltimore. Taryn, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have like comments and questions and a bunch of confusion in my head as a 43-year-old black male in Baltimore City. Our leadership, from leadership of the mayor's office to everything that you can imagine us going through. You know, it's a transition for me because I am hip hop.
Right.
I love hip hop. I don't like all the violence, and this guy, Nipsey Hussle, I didn't listen to him, but I started to research, and I have to. I feel like it's a responsibility of mine, because like you said, there's a lot of very important people that are at this funeral, very important people that have commented. If you actually look at what he's done, at the age of 33.
Wow.
I think he did a lot more than most of us can say that we did or we might even gonna do.
Well, now, Taryn, can I stop you there? I don't want you to hang up. Do you mind holding on over the break? We got to take a hard break, but if you hold on, I'll come right back to you after the break.
Okay.
Okay, folks, we'll hold Taryn on. I see Kim's on hold. Sharon's on hold. You can also give us a call, 410-319-8888. Let's finish talking about Nipsey Hussle, and then let's transition to talking about the violence that's here in Baltimore. I think there's a connection, folks. I think this is calling us to be better than what we have been. This here is our moment. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Keep it with us.
And a good afternoon. Looking pretty good on the Penn Line of the MART train system. Only one minor delay. That's train 439 heading to Washington. No delays on any train heading from Washington to Baltimore. The light rail link is on schedule. No delays on the Metro subway link. Local link bus diversions include the Lime Line diverting at Druid Hill and Cloverdale. The Purple Line eastbound diverting.